What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another hour of the Andy Slater Show on this Wednesday, April 17th. I almost forgot how to start the hour up. It's been so long. I put on the headset, I plugged everything in, all the equipment ready to go. And it's like, okay, it's go time. Do I remember what I normally say? Now, you probably tried to tune in the past couple of days, maybe last week you went to tune in and you heard somebody else's voice. You didn't hear mine. Some of you might have said, thank gosh. But I think the majority of you were like, where is Andy? And then you went to my social media, if you didn't hear me tell you the two previous weeks where I would be, and you found out that I was in Spain. I went to Barcelona. I took my first real vacation in I don't know how many years, and it felt great. It's good to be back. It's good to be talking again. I think if I took the rest of this week off and I wasn't here today, then I'd be going on 2 weeks off, and I don't know if I'd want to start talking again because I would just become so used to not talking. And for over a week, being in Barcelona and being off the air and being unplugged for the most part, I've always got my phone on me, but just not having to prepare for a show every day. Not that it's extremely difficult, but still, there's a lot of work that goes into this. I don't just turn on all the equipment and the microphone and it's like, hello, welcome to another hour of the Andy Slater Show. That's not how it works. That's how some other shows work with a different name. That's not how this show works. And you know that. But not having to do that for more than a week, it was nice. And a lot of you, whatever job you have, whatever company you work for, maybe you work for yourself, you've got vacation time. You take vacations every year. You have a week off here, a week off there. You have a 4 weeks or 3 weeks off a year, and you get that time. I'm not saying I don't get time off. I get plenty of time off, but to do 1 week, actually more than a week at a time for me, is very rare. I could do it more often, but I don't like being away from all of you for so long. I don't like being away from the scene and the news and everything for so long. So I was following along with everything. Barcelona was really, really, really nice. I definitely want to go back and go back to Spain, maybe check out Madrid. There was a 6-hour time difference. So games over there were starting at 1 in the morning, 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning, which was pretty bizarre. But the really cool thing was, and I'm going to get to the Heat and the Panthers and everything. I'm not just here to tell you about Barcelona and my trip. But the real cool thing was, being 6 hours ahead, and this was the first time I'd ever gone anywhere where I was ahead of Miami time. I'm always behind. When I'm in Medellin or Costa Rica or Vegas, I'm behind. This time I was 6 hours ahead. So not only ahead, but 6 hours ahead. The coolest part was my phone, all the communication, text messages, phone calls, none of that started until like 2:30 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So I was able to wake up. I was able to have breakfast. I was able to go out to lunch, walk around. And when I looked at my phone, there was nothing going on. I had no messages. I had no phone calls. There were barely any tweets. I was getting to live my day before everybody else. And that was really cool. So if you followed me on Instagram, or you still do now, not that you followed me and unfollowed me, but if you were following along, you saw how nice Barcelona was. Some of you have been there. I highly recommend it. The views there are amazing. They're different kind of views than the views I have in Medellin. Girls, 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 girls. But the buildings and some of the other views, spectacular. And I love really good food. The food was so good. Everything was so clean. I walked around Barcelona and I'm thinking about walking around New York and how disgusting New York City is and how beautiful Barcelona was. The flight, 7 hours and 45 minutes going and a little over 9 hours coming back. It's the longest two flights I've ever been on in my life. And I didn't even know what to expect going into it, especially on the return. And it was nothing. It wasn't bad at all. Really, because I had internet. Now, if I didn't have internet, it probably would have been the worst flight ever. But I had internet. I was comfortable. I had my seat with the bed and good food. It was nice. It was really, really nice. So I'm glad I got away. But at the same time, I'm glad that I'm back here talking to all of you. I did really well in poker there. That's the reason I took the trip. It was a poker vacation. I played in two poker tournaments, and now I'm going to be playing in these tournaments at the Hard Rock, and I'll be doing my show from the Hard Rock tomorrow and Friday. But I played in two tournaments there in Barcelona. The first one, I made the final table. I came in seventh out of 103. And then in the main event, they had 511 entries, and I came in 15th out of 511. I played a perfect game as good as I could. The cards, sometimes they don't work in your favor. And I finished 15th in the main event. Before I left to Barcelona, I finished fourth in my poker tournament at the Hard Rock. So my last three finishes, fourth, seventh, and 15th, with pretty big fields. So now I'm ready to play the World Poker Tour main event because that starts on Friday. And if you're going to any of the poker events at the Hard Rock, I hope to see you there. I'll be doing my show outside the ballroom tomorrow and Friday. They got a charity event coming up tomorrow night. I'll be playing in that. So I'm really looking forward to it. Hope to see some of you out there. And I'll go to the sports book too, hang out, go to the lounge. I don't know if you saw my tweet from last night and also my IG feed, but I put in a parlay yesterday that wound up hitting, and I also hedged during the last game with a scoop opportunity. And you know me, I love
Slater's scoop.
And boy, did I get one. I got one on Hard Rock Bet last night. Go to my Twitter feed, check it out. Go to my Instagram. You'll see all the details there, what the play was. People are going wild over my plays and my parlays. I got so many people sending me messages. How much money can I send you? What I'm going to do, because there's some of you that are tuned in now that are new to the show, you're new to South Florida, whatever it may be. What I'm going to do, when Instagram gives me the ability for subscriptions, which should be pretty soon, when they do that, then I will, to all my subscribers, I will send out every single play that I put in, whether it's 5 hours before a game or 5 minutes before a game, every single play. I don't know what the subscription price is going to be yet, but that's what the plan is. That's what I plan to do, because there's so many of you that want to see every single one of my plays, and I've been posting some of them, but some I put in 10 minutes or 15 minutes before a game. I'm not going to sit there and post it on my Instagram story all the time. Not that I don't like giving out information for free, because I've been doing that. But people are so into Hard Rock Bet and wagering. I knew it would be huge here in Florida, but it's bigger than I even thought. It's crazy. I love it. So what a perfect time I planned to come back. Being today, Wednesday, April 17th, think about how much stuff we have going on sports-wise. This was like perfect planning. It is playoff and play-in time. I couldn't have planned it any better. The Heat, they have the play-in game tonight. The Panthers, they have a playoff game this weekend. They're going to be hosting the Tampa Bay Lightning. And who can forget what last year was like? Games every single night. And I say that in the best way possible. It was awesome. Sometimes they were alternating nights. Sometimes they were on the same night, the Heat and the Panthers. Both of them making impossible runs to their championship rounds. Will all of that happen again? I remember being on the airwaves last year at the same exact time. And I was doing the show from the Hard Rock, which is where I'll be tomorrow and Friday. And I remember sitting there at the broadcast table when it came to the Heat saying, why even bother getting in? Because they were in the play-in game. I said, just get out of this already. Get a better pick. You're not going to do anything. Just forget about it. Let's end the misery. And the Miami Heat go to the NBA Finals. So I have learned. I learned my lesson. That's the biggest thing you got to do in life. We all make mistakes. That's my poker mentality. Every time I'm at a poker table, and over the past 5, 6, 7 years, I learn from any mistake I make, and I don't make it again. Last year, I made a mistake here on the airwaves, writing off the Miami Heat. Forget about it. Why even get in? They go to the NBA Finals. I have learned from that mistake, and I will not do it again. So does that mean now I'll have the Heat winning everything? Not necessarily. I'm going to tell you what's on my mind with the Heat. I'm going to tell you what's on my mind with the Panthers. I'm going to tell you what's on my mind with everything, because that's what I'm here for. But I can't tell you anything else until this hour officially begins.
It's time to shuffle up and deal.
I'm going to start with the Heat because they're the team from South Florida that's playing tonight. The Heat are in Philadelphia. I thought to myself yesterday, why didn't I go to Philadelphia? Well, I knew why, because I was just way too busy with things going on here and coming back from Spain. But I would have loved to have gone to this game because I would have gotten Angelo's cheesesteak, the best cheesesteak in the universe, and hopefully saw a Heat victory. Will the Miami Heat win tonight? I don't know the answer to that. I can certainly give you my opinion on the game, but I don't have the answer to if the Heat or the Sixers are going to win. We know the game is in Philly. We know whoever wins this game tonight advances to take on the New York Knicks. That'll be Saturday night at 6 p.m. So we know this is a monstrous game. The winner is assured getting into the playoffs. The loser, not so much. I know last year, the Heat, they lost the first play-in game. That actually was at home. Then in the second one, Max Strus saved their bacon with 31 points. The Miami Heat wound up getting in, and we know where they went. This year, I look at the stakes much differently. And the reason for that, the reason I feel like tonight's game is extremely important. You have to take a look at who's sitting at number 2 in the Eastern Conference. Take a look at who's at 2 and who's at number 1. The Celtics are much better than the New York Knicks. Could the Miami Heat beat the Celtics in the first round? Of course they could. The Miami Heat are capable of beating just about anyone if they play up to their postseason level. But if you're the Miami Heat, if you're a Heat fan, do you want to face the Boston Celtics in the first round? Wouldn't you rather face the New York Knicks in the first round? Now, while I do have so much admiration for Jalen Brunson and the way the Knicks have played all season long, that team plays, and I hate to say it, but they play like they've got heat culture in them. They bring it every single night. But when you look at the talent from the Knicks to Boston, come on. It's nowhere close. So if the Miami Heat played the Knicks, that would be like a street fight. And that's something that Jimmy Butler, Bam, Spo, all those guys are built for it. It's a way better matchup. That is why tonight is so important. If the Heat were to lose tonight and then win on Friday, they're playing Boston. If the Heat win tonight, they're playing the Knicks. The difference there is monumental. That is why tonight is such an important game. That's why the Miami Heat have to beat Philadelphia this evening. Now, will they? We know the Sixers are dangerous. The Miami Heat are the 8th seed because they had a lot of injuries all year. They couldn't beat the top teams in the West. I think they went 0-10 against top 5 seeds in the West. And the Heat weren't very good at home. But look at Philadelphia. Philly is the 7th seed only because Joel Embiid got hurt. That's about it. If Joel Embiid hadn't missed time, Philly's probably a top 3 seed. And Joel Embiid's back. So this play-in opponent tonight for Miami is very difficult because you're essentially going up against what should be a top 3 seed. And you're playing on the road. Now, playing on the road has actually been much better for Miami this season. Is there logic to it? The players don't understand it from what I heard. It's just what the season has brought to them. So they have a road game against a team they split the season series with, 2 games apiece. These teams know each other really well. We'll see how it plays out tonight. Philly's favored. Things like 5, 5.5. Does that mean the Heat are going to lose? No. We know what the Miami Heat need to do. Yeah, they need to score more points than Philadelphia, but they need Jimmy. We know what Philly's got. Philly's a two-headed monster. You got Joel Embiid, who's unguardable. His height and his touch, just a deadly combo. Now, you can make him work a bit. The Heat will probably throw plenty of looks at him, but Joel Embiid's one of the best players in the league. And then you got Maxey. Maxey's pure speed. He's a guy who can get through your defense. He can create shots for others with his speed. He could score. He's a stud. And on top of that, in a strange twist of fate, one of the emotional leaders of last year's Heat run, Kyle Lowry, he's now playing for the opposition. He's in Philly. So here the Miami Heat are, after basically telling Kyle he wasn't helping, and you could see it. At the end, he just wasn't helping. He couldn't hit a 3. Body language was really bad. The Miami Heat move on. They replace him with Scary Terry, who will not be playing tonight. He's still out with a neck injury. So we'll see Kyle going up against Miami Heat culture. Kind of a compelling matchup. The Miami Heat need Jimmy. That's it. We know it. Was Jimmy bad during the 82-game regular season? He wasn't bad. He put up decent numbers. He had some great moments. I was in the building for that Chicago game where he hit the game winner at the buzzer. Was Jimmy playoff Jimmy during the regular season? Was he the talk of the NBA? Was he a wrecking ball? No. But now, in a play-in game, are we going to get playoff Jimmy? He always denies it, the whole playoff Jimmy thing. But we know that it's real. We know there's a real thing, playoff Jimmy, as opposed to regular season Jimmy. We know Jimmy has another level. He just flips a switch. Is that switch going to be flipped later this afternoon in just a few hours into tonight? Because, again, the Heat win this game, they face the Knicks. The Heat lose this game, you got to play one more. And if they win that one, you face the Celtics in the first round. Not that they can't beat Boston. I think the Heat can beat anybody. I guarantee you other teams do not want to face the Miami Heat. Nobody wants to face Jimmy Butler come playoff time. No one's thinking the Heat are a walkover. It's going to be a sweep. Not even the Celtics. The Celtics were nearly unbeatable at home. But I can assure you, they do not want the Heat smoke in round one. The Knicks don't either. So no matter what happens tonight, the Miami Heat are in this. They'll either be in it playing the Knicks on Saturday or in it playing either Atlanta or Chicago on Friday and then in it playing Boston. The Miami Heat, they're in it. And we know if playoff Jimmy shows up, not only will the Heat be in it, but they'll have a legitimate shot to go back to where they were last year. This team, we've seen them cruise through the regular season, and then the playoffs begin, and everything changes. We've seen it multiple times. We saw it in the bubble. In the bubble, the Heat were the 5 seed. They got hot. They went to the NBA Finals. Last year, the 8 seed. At what point will everyone realize this is just what the Miami Heat do? The purpose of the regular season, as this Heat team has played it for at least the Jimmy Butler era, is stay healthy. That's number one. If a team is banged up, they can't win a title. You got to be healthy. You got to be playing your best basketball at the end of the season. So if that means during the year, Eric Spoelstra is tinkering in his lab. He's mixing and matching. He's trying different things. But his entire goal is have it all figured out. So come playoff time, we got it. I'm good with it. If he's using all these different combinations during the regular season, that's driving people crazy. But in the end, come playoff time, the Miami Heat are doing well. I'm good with it. Tonight, Spo's probably got all the data he needs. It's time for him to get to work. Spo and Jimmy, they're the same way. This isn't the big three era where you've got LeBron, Wade, and Bosh, and you're just going to steamroll through everyone. This is a much more complicated formula where you got to figure things out. How are you going to use Duncan Robinson? What is he going to be able to do? You got Tyler Hero and pure scoring. How are you going to complement Bam's defense? How much is Jovic going to contribute? What about Jaime Jaquez Jr.? What is his role going to be? This year's team is very different from the one we saw last year. Strus and Gabe Vincent, they're gone. Duncan's still here. Tyler's healthy. Jovic is a starter. Jaquez is a key rotation guy. Haywood Highsmith is a big-time 3-and-D guy. He knocks down threes, plays big-time defense. Cody Zeller's no longer here. That's a win. Kevin Love is still Kevin Love, and he's expected to play. So in the end, will the Miami Heat win tonight? It's going to be tough. If Embiid stays healthy and out of foul trouble, it's going to be extremely difficult to beat Philadelphia. If the Heat can make him work, if they could speed him up a bit, and if Miami can have Duncan healthy and creating some space with his shooting, they'll be much better off. I don't expect the Heat to win tonight, but I do expect the Miami Heat to at least win one of these playing games. If it's not tonight, it'll be the next one. The Florida Panthers don't have a play-in game, but they had a very important one yesterday evening, and now they're going to be facing the Tampa Bay Lightning. I'll get to some Florida Panthers hockey talk in just a moment. What you could get to this weekend Gulfstream Park. The Royal Palm Meet is going on at Gulfstream Park. Live racing Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Exciting racing action. I love going to Gulfstream Park. And when I go to Gulfstream, I go to their trackside restaurant, Ten Palms. I get myself a table, have a fantastic meal, watch the races live right in front of me. And of course, you know me, I wager on them. You don't even have to wager a lot. You could wager 10 or 20 cents and possibly make thousands of dollars. I see it happen all of the time. Live racing every Thursday through Sunday. It is the Royal Palm Meet. It is a great time to go out and feel the action, get in on the action, have some great food, watch the races live right in front of you. It's all happening in Hollandale Beach. It's the Royal Palm Meet at Gulfstream Park. I was just talking about the NBA with the Heat and Sixers tonight. I always talk about betting here on the show and the parlay and everything that I hit last night, and hopefully we'll hit another one tonight and more in the future. And then the news came out around 12 o'clock, just a little while ago. Raptors, or former Raptors player, Jonte Porter, who nobody had even really heard of until a few weeks ago, he got banned for life from the NBA. There were a couple of prop bets that were listed for him, and he's like a player who barely plays. This happened back in March, so it was last month, and some crazy money went on these prop wagers, and he wound up checking out of the game very early, saying he was sick. Well, the NBA, they started to investigate. The feds started to investigate, and so far the findings were that he got a hold of someone who's a known NBA bettor, according to a league statement, and he was in on everything. And that's obviously a big-time no-no, and he's been banned for life by the NBA. I believe I read he actually played a parlay where he took the Raptors to lose because he was betting on the NBA as well from somebody else's account. It wasn't Shohei's interpreter's account, at least I don't think so. So he took the Raptors to lose, and the Raptors actually won. It's just, it's so crazy how sports betting has taken over. Ever since the Supreme Court years ago lifted like the ban across the country, and now it's been up to individual states, it's crazy what's gone on. The amount of people who are wagering on sports, the information that's being sent around, some probably by people, like in this case, who are not supposed to say anything. And then what comes out of it? Jonte Porter, he just ruined his chances of going into the Hall of Fame. Obviously, that's a joke. I mean, barely even played. But you get my point. I mean, now he ruined his entire career. He's got no more career. What's he going to do? Go play basketball in China or something? Well, speaking of wagering, do you think the Florida Panthers are a good wager to win the Stanley Cup? The Miami Heat, they play tonight. And the reason they're playing tonight is because they just take the regular season lightly. The Florida Panthers, absolutely not. Paul Maurice and the Panthers deserve so much credit. They could have gone into Operation Shutdown. They could have started resting a bunch of guys and said, all right, we're in and we're good. Instead, what the Panthers did, they played it all out. And they started to really look like themselves at moments. And last night, they beat the Leafs after being down 2-0. They win 5-2. They avoid Toronto in the first round because Boston lost to Ottawa in Boston. And Boston looks like complete frauds. Now the Panthers are division winners. They win the Atlantic. They host the Tampa Bay Lightning in the first round. And I know Panthers fans, you're going to see the Lightning, and it's going to be dramatic because the Panthers and the Lightning. It never turns out to be good for Florida. But the Panthers are so much better right now than they were in those years. The Lightning, they were the tormentors, and now Florida's going to see that bully, but they're in incredible shape. So, yes, it's the Sunshine State showdown, but the Florida Panthers are the better team. The Panthers should win this series. Tampa's got Vasilevsky, and he's a really good goaltender. We know what he's capable of, but Sergei Bobrovsky, he's fantastic as well. Anthony Stolarz, he's really good. Paul Maurice, he's great behind that bench. And Bill Zito, the guy who put this team together, got a contract extension. He was now made the president of hockey operations. He's now the Panthers' Pat Riley. Everything is just so well-deserved. We talk about playoff Jimmy. Will we get playoff Chucky? You remember last year what Matthew Tkachuk did during the Panthers' playoff run. Sam Reinhart, he's been the star of this team. 57 goals. That's nuts. But we saw playoff Chucky. He went from a really good hockey player, an impressive hockey player, to a superhuman. Big goal after big goal. Game winners, OT game winners, an absolute monster. Another monster would be Stewie, who's got the bagel loan, and you want to get a hold of Stewie. If you're buying a home, if you need a mortgage, or you're refinancing, what is the bagel loan that Stewie's got for you? Well, when you look at a bagel, what do you see in the middle? A zero. And that is exactly what you're going to pay Stewie. Zero. Nothing. No lender fees, no appraisal fees. So if you're buying a home, if you need a mortgage, or you're refinancing, you want to get a hold of Stewie. You want the bagel loan. Now, how do you talk to Stewie? How do you get the bagel loan? I'm going to give you Stewie's personal cell phone number. You call up Stewie on his personal cell. Let him help you. Let him get you the bagel loan. Here's his number. 561-379-4441. That's 561-379-4441. If you're buying a home, if you need a mortgage, or you're refinancing, call Stewie and get the bagel loan where you pay him nothing. MLS number 226715. Since I got back from my trip from Barcelona, and today is my first day back on the airwaves, I haven't had an opportunity to talk about the Miami Marlins. And I'm not going to have a lot of time this segment either to discuss them, so I'll have to bring them up later. Plus, tomorrow we're going to have the result of the Heat game, and the Panthers are about to start. But not much changed with the Marlins while I was gone. They continued to lose. At least fans were able to get a couple of free days with a Whopper Jr., finally. And they sent down Max Meyer, which is such a terrible look. Innings management. We got a baby Max Meyer. The best pitcher for the Miami Marlins was Max Meyer, and now he's on the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp. Marlins fans are like, how can we take this team seriously? You send down the best pitcher we had at the time. We're supposed to go buy tickets now? Like, come on. And you know what? I can't blame Marlins fans. It's just a terrible move. Lieutenant Camacho with the Florida Highway Patrol. He's going to join me next. So not only am I back here on this Wednesday, so is Lieutenant Camacho from the Florida Highway Patrol. Lieutenant, the Miami Heat, they got a play-in game tonight in Philadelphia. If they win this play-in game, are you guys going to have any crowd control like Bird Road by La Careta or maybe somewhere in Broward or Palm Beach?
Well, you know, historically, we always that's kind of the hot spot whenever any of our local teams win, but to be honest, I'm not sure if tonight's victory will prompt a response to La Carreta just yet. But maybe I know our guys are going to kind of do well in the playoffs as they usually do. But we're definitely ready as we've done in the past. So we're optimistic about it.
Are you guys still going to have troopers on the road during the game, or are they all going to be out watching it? Why are you laughing? I mean, come on.
Well, no, we do have an obligation, Andy, to be out there every night. So, yeah, they'll be out there for sure. So if anybody needs FHP, *347, *FHP, we're out there always, 24/7.
But do you even have to be now? Because I was just reading something, Lieutenant. I don't know anything about this, but hopefully you do. You guys at the Florida Highway Patrol can now respond to crashes virtually. Can you explain that?
So what we're doing is it's a pilot program, Andy, and it's called the Desk Trooper program. And it's not, we haven't officially launched it yet. But basically the program allows individuals or motorists that are involved in minor crashes to be assisted by a trooper remotely via technology similar to, like, you know, FaceTime or like a Zoom. And there's some caveats, right? Like, such as, you know, the both people involved in the crash, they have to agree to do it virtually. And then obviously it can't be a serious crash with injuries or a crash that might require a vehicle to be towed, because those by law would require a trooper to be present and to respond to the scene. But basically the goal of the pilot program is just to reduce the wait time for people that are involved in these minor crashes. You know, a lot of these crashes are sometimes what we, you know, you would call a fender bender, with very minor damage, no injuries. And sometimes they can find themselves waiting on the side of the road, because those types of more minor crashes, they don't get the same priority as the serious crashes or another type of maybe hot call that we might get. So basically, it's just to reduce the wait time, you know, that people are finding themselves waiting. And especially in the Central Florida area, that Orlando area, where there's so many visitors coming in, a lot of tourists that don't know the area might find themselves getting lost. And we have a higher number of crashes in that Central Florida area. So when the program does launch, it will begin in the Orlando area. And if it's successful, it will obviously expand from there.
So I don't know how many details you know about it, but if it's a fender bender, do you just, I guess, go on a call, like a video call, and you show,
right,
that you show the damage and everything to the trooper sitting at a desk?
Right. Well, the troopers that are sitting at the desk are troopers that might have, they might be on some type of leave. They could be injured and they might not be able to work the street. So they're working, you know, the desk or they're working the records. So the trooper obviously, know how to investigate these types of crashes. But again, I want to reiterate, this is just for very minor crashes, no injuries, minor damage, no tow truck required, nothing criminal or nothing suspected to be criminal involved, right? And yeah, essentially, they would get like on a type of video call with both participants. They would do a walk around of the vehicle, inspect the damage, get both sides of the stories from each driver, and be able to generate that report, from the desk, and then that works for the people involved. Obviously, for it gets them knocked out more efficiently.
We're not gonna get virtual paramedics next, are we?
No.
I mean, like, oh, here, you know,
I just said there can't be any.
No, I know that, but I'm just saying, like, this is a pilot program. I don't know what's coming next.
Yeah, you're gonna give you a virtual Band-Aid. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, do this, you know, do that. My gosh, that's bizarre. I mean, this is all very new. I'm totally into technology. It's just kind of crazy to hear about it.
Again, no, honestly, when you really think about it, Andy, it works. It makes it efficient, right? It because so many times we have these minor crashes that are, you know, under, let's say, $500 in damage for both vehicles. Nobody's injured. It's literally like a crack on a bumper or something, you know, and it's not fair for those people to have to wait for a trooper to respond. They can find themselves out there for a while sometimes. And we're trying to just, again, assist the public and the wait times and make it just much more efficient for everybody.
Lieutenant Camacho with the Florida Highway Patrol with us here on the Andy Slater Show. This you cannot do virtually, at least I don't think so. Chase somebody on the highway. I know you can do it from a helicopter. This happened this morning, I believe, very early this morning in Collier County. You guys were chasing a 13-year-old who was not on foot. He was driving a car, correct?
He was driving a car. He was in the Naples area. The troopers saw this vehicle. And you're right, this was a little while ago. This was around 4 a.m. today in the Naples area. The troopers spotted the, I believe it was a Dodge Challenger, failing to maintain a lane, kind of swerving in and out. Troopers obviously suspected impairment, attempted to stop the vehicle. As soon as they turned on the blue lights, activated those emergency lights to stop that vehicle, the driver sped away and turned off the lights on his car. And so eventually it led the troopers on a 4-mile chase. Wasn't too long, but eventually the driver did stop and was identified to be a 13-year-old. So was taken to jail, but Collier County Jail. I just see so many issues with this 13-year-old. First of all, there's obviously curfews for minors. Being out at that time, number one. Number two, being in a vehicle driving, which we know that there's no way he has even a learner's license. And number three, just trying to already flee from officers, which is, it's just not going to work. And so now this 13-year-old finds himself in just so much more trouble and complicates everything as he gets older. His driving might not be able to get a license for a long time now. Who knows? But it's just unfortunate.
Yeah, we talk about betting here a lot on the show. That's a terrible parlay right there, all those charges. and I read that he was also cited, like you just said, without having a license. And I'm like, well, I mean, you're 13. You can't even do that in Hialeah, can you, Camacho? You can't get I know you can get licensed, you know, at all these shops, but 13, I don't even think they'll do that in Hialeah, will they?
I think you kind of, I think you stand out. 13 years old, behind the wheel. I know I've seen, 13, I don't even think you're in high school yet, Andy. I mean, it's just crazy.
Yeah. Lieutenant Camacho, Florida Highway Patrol, if you're at the desk in the next few months investigating a fender bender, please, can I do a desk ride-along?
Yeah, I'd be happy to help somebody out. I'm kind of interested. I think it's going to work. I think it's going to be a successful program, and I'd be happy to kind of showcase it with you, one of the first ones that come in, and you can kind of put it out there for the people to know what it's all about.
That'd be really cool. Probably a lot safer for the troopers, too, and for the ride-along as well. All right, Lieutenant, it's good to hear your voice. It was a nice time in Spain that I had. I didn't see too many police officers. It was great, but it's good to be back, and it's good to have you back on the program, and we'll do it again next week.
Happy to be back. See you, Andy. Take care.
All right, take care. Lieutenant Camacho with the Florida Highway Patrol. Desk troopers coming to a county near you. All right, that's all the time I've got for this Wednesday afternoon. We'll do it again tomorrow. For now, I'm Andy Slater, and I'll see you later.